Okay, you're tuned to WHPK, 88.5 FM in Chicago. Right now I have on the phone Mike Avery, who was a member of the group The New Image. Mike, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Bob. How you doing?
Okay, cool. Thanks for being here. You're on the air right now.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So, we'll be talking about, I guess, the story of your group, and you were actually in a couple groups.
Yeah.
And playing a couple of your records, too. So,
awesome.
The first group you were in was called The New Image, right?
That is correct.
And I know The New Image record came out around 1977. Do you know when the group formed?
Well, actually, pretty much the group was formed already. The group was formed under the name of the Creative Emeralds.
Creative Emeralds, like the gem?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we all were still in high school, and they was traveling around, do opening shows.
So what high school did you go to?
I went to Farragut High School. We all went to Farragut High School on the west side.
Okay. Yeah. So the whole group was from around there, the
That's
west side.
Correct. Yeah.
And Farragut is a school. I know. I don't know about 70s groups, but in the 60s, like the Mandels were from there, and the Conquistadors, and Gene Terrell.
Yeah. Right.
But you were one of the only 70s groups to come out of that school, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you said the group was called the Creative Emeralds originally?
Creative Emeralds, right.
Were you an original member of the group?
No, I wasn't. I actually was just singing, doing talent shows and everything with my brothers and my brother-in-law. The name of their group ended up to be the Superior Movement.
Okay.
And we were just having fun.
Was
know?
It the it was the Superior Movement that recorded that they were in?
Yeah, that was a group that
cause
ended up recording.
So your brothers were in that group?
My brother and my brother-in-law.
That's interesting. I got to talk to them too sometime.
Yeah, I can get you in touch with them. My brother, brother-in-law, and cousin was in that group.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but the New Image, so originally formed as the Creative Emerald, and you weren't a member of the group, is that right, originally?
No, I wasn't an original member. I ended up being added to the group because one of the tenors ended up leaving, and they were looking around for another tenor, and I just happened to be available.
Okay.
At that time, and
so
at that time they were looking for some production company to help them out, you know, to get a record deal, you know, because they had been, you know, playing everywhere, all over the city, across the country, and so forth. So. And that's how I ended up getting with them. And Ruth Moore, I don't know if you're familiar.
Yeah, she managed a lot of the groups that I've
she
talked
ended
to.
She managed us too.
That's interesting. I didn't know she was managing that late. Actually, she managed Coffee too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So around that time, she okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I got a photo of her. I could send you actually.
Yeah. She had her hands in everything on the west side, but she's bless her soul. She's passed on, of course. But she was a very big part of the music scene on the west side.
So how'd you get started singing, actually? Because by the late 70s, it was unusual. Like the vocal group thing was kind of becoming out of style, and bands were becoming popular back then.
Right. Back in the day, my idol was Russell Tompkins Jr., the Stylistics. And he sung with a falsetto. I didn't know what a falsetto or a natural voice was. And when I got around other singers that really, really knew how to sing, hey, why don't you sing in a natural voice? I'm like, what is a natural? And I've always sung in a falsetto type voice. So over the years, I've developed a natural singing voice. I once understood what it was. And also with help from my music teacher, Mr. John Gans at Farragut High School, he was a big help with myself, the Creative Emeralds, and the Superior Movement. He was a big influence on our lives.
Okay. So pretty much the first group you sang with, obviously, was the New Image.
I'll tell you what we went by. In high school, it was called the First Five.
Okay, so you had a group before.
Yeah, we did. And we tried to make things happen, and for the most part, we just did a lot of talent shows.
Okay.
And yeah, we had a lot, you know, had the girls screaming and everything, and we had a good time with it.
So,
then it started getting serious for me, and I wanted to make a career out of it, and then Creative Rambles came along.
So were they doing a lot of shows already back then?
Oh, yeah, they were doing shows left to right. They opened up for the Dramatics, the Miracles. Any major act back during that time, they would open up for. And nine times out of ten, a lot of times, they would end up taking the show. And I'm not just saying that. They would put on a hell of a show.
Okay, so what was by the time you joined the group, what was the ultimate lineup of the group, I guess the lineup that ended up recording?
The ultimate lineup, it was Reginald Lamb. He was second tenor.
Okay.
Marvin Keebler-Hill. He was the bass.
Okay.
Curtis Johnson. He was another tenor. And Kenny Brown, he lives in Atlanta, Georgia now. We keep in contact from time to time. He's still singing. That was pretty much the lineup.
And you, right?
And me, of course.
So there were five members of the group.
There was five members, right.
And there's five members on record, is that right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so you, what year did you guys, were you guys about the same year in school?
Yeah, we were, yeah.
What year did you graduate from school?
77.
Okay, and that's like the same year your record came out, right?
Yeah.
What inspired you to change your name from the Creative Emeralds to the New Image?
Well, you know, when a lot of people start getting their hands into your business and your lives, and they think, you know, what, you know, should happen or how you should sound or what your name should be, and you start giving up that control, and that's pretty much what happened. And somebody said they didn't like the name. I mean, but this was the name that they were getting gigs and getting a livelihood off of all those years. And, for, you know, we ended up letting it go. And we sat down, and New Image was the next name.
Okay. So let me play the record just so people know what we're talking about.
Okay, great.
And we can talk a little bit more. So this record came out in 1977 and had sort of like a little bit of the disco sound of the time.
Right.
This is called New Dance Craze, and then we'll talk some more.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that was just the new image with a track called New Dance Craze. And right now I'm doing an interview with Mike Avery, member of the New Image. Mike, are you still there?
I'm still here, Bob.
Cool. So that was just that record just came out. It came out in 1977.
Yeah.
And one thing that's interesting about it is it actually came out on a Florida record label, a label called Ket, which is, if listeners don't know, that's the same label that Gwen McRae was on.
That is correct, yeah.
So, first of all, how did a Chicago group end up on a Florida label? Like, I see Lucky Cordell's name on it, who was obviously a famous DJ, and he had a record label called GEC with Clarence Johnson at the time, but that's not his label, Cat, obviously.
No, it's not, but Clarence ended up getting a production deal with the TK Records.
Okay, and that was the big Florida label that
right.
Cat was associated with.
Yeah. And some kind of way he has connections with Peter Brown. Peter Brown was up and coming. Well, do you want to get funky with me? And so TK was kind of looking around. I guess they had a budget, you know, to kind of deal with some Midwest artists. And Jolene, the Shelton sisters, wrote Dance Craze.
Okay.
And, they ended up picking us up, writing some songs for us.
Yeah, Maurice Commander's name's on it, too.
Yeah, Maurice Commander, correct, right.
And so how'd you get hooked up with Lucky, and how'd you get a record deal, actually?
Well, through, actually, Ruth Moore.
Okay.
Ruth,
I know she was working with Clarence a lot, too.
Yeah, she was working with Clarence, and she knew quite a few people in the business, so, you know, they knew we were kind of hot at the time, like, at least in the clubs and everything. I still have to give credit to the Creative Emeralds, because, like I said, I was a member that came in later, and they did lay the groundwork, for the group. So
they develop like your reputation and stuff.
Yeah, so I have to give a big props to them. So I totally dedicate this interview to for them and to them. Because without them I wouldn't have got the exposure and the experience that that I have now. So I have to give props to them.
So when the record came out, did you permanently change your name to the New Image after that?
Yeah, we did.
Did you start doing a lot more shows?
We did. Like I said, we didn't want to change it, but, you know, we just, you know, bit our lip and just kept pushing on. We did a lot of shows and opened up a few acts, and, we thought it was going to go a little further just because we had a record, you know. But, you know, things kind of got a little weird during that time, you know. We were pulling in one direction, and management was pulling in another direction. We were filling the music another way. The management and production company was filling the music another way. So it kind of got a little weird. And
like you were telling me, actually, that you prefer the B-side of the record, which is more like a ballad.
Yeah.
For lovers only.
As a group, we felt more comfortable with that style because that was more about closer to our style than the A-side.
Yeah.
But the production company and the record company didn't see fit, so...
Yeah, it was kind of.
Sometimes you just have to go along with the program and hope for the best.
Yeah, the times were kind of changing. Like the disco sound was big.
Yeah, we were right in the cusp of it. You know, we were like in the middle of it. So things were changing right when we finally got our break. But we were still blessed, have that opportunity to, get out there on somewhat of a major label.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, especially in the late 70s, there weren't a lot of opportunities for Chicago groups just because,
like,
the record industry in Chicago was dying. And So, yeah, you were lucky to get a record out that late,
yeah.
Chicago record. So how long after that, so did the group ever try to cut another record, or you just fought with kind of the people, your producers, because they had a different sound in mind for you?
Well, yeah, like I said, it started getting a little crazy, and we were getting frustrated, you know. You can imagine, five guys looking for success, and they want it right away, you know. We were getting frustrated, and we were getting frustrated with each other. We wasn't getting the answers we wanted quick enough, you know. When's the next record? When are we going to do that? When are we going to go back in the studio? So we weren't getting the answers that we thought we deserved, and... We kind of took somewhat of a hiatus and just laid off, you know, just stopped for a few months. And
okay.
Then we just got back to what we did best. We went back performing.
Okay, so that was like around 78 or something, 79, you started performing again?
Yeah. Yeah, we just, you know, just you know, stepped back for a minute and reevaluated what we had and what we wanted to do as a group. And, it was really crazy. It was a really crazy time. And a lot of emotions, when you talk to a lot of groups, you realize they want to make it. That's our main goal, is to make it out here, because we felt we were talented. I'm sure all the other groups that you interview feel the same way. But sometimes, it's just not your turn.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, like, not many people got breaks. And, you know, a lot of people just disbanded after never getting that break.
Yeah.
So you when did the group break up? Like, around 1980, something like that?
Yeah, about 1980, maybe. 81, something like that.
Okay. And then you eventually became a member of the band Wrecking Crew.
Yes.
So what's the story with that?
Well, first of all, like, I'm still singing now. I would never stop singing. I might as well die. I'm going to do that until I'm gone.
Okay.
So I'm going to never stop singing. And Wrecking Crew came along. It was a funk band back in the 80s. Another great band from the West Side, you know. Like you said, the times were changing, the music was changing, everything was funk. You had Magnum Force from Chicago, a lot of funk bands coming out, and, you know, we were from the West Side. And we just started writing. I always thought I could write, you know. And so I just started putting a pen in the paper, and then we just came up with this little funky song, and it was called Found a Groove, and you got a lot of airplay in the Midwest.
Okay.
You know?
So were you an original member of the group, or was the band together and they brought you
in? No, I was an original member.
Okay.
I was an original member.
So did you play an instrument, or were you just a vocalist?
I was a vocalist. Actually, the Wrecking Crew was a house band for this place called JoJo's. It was on North Wells.
Okay.
And it was a house band, and it was a great place. It was a place where a lot of people came down to... As a matter of fact, his name was John Bryant. He owned the JoJo's.
You know, there was a John Bryant that sang in a couple groups. That, you don't know if it's the same guy, do you?
No. Okay. But I know he was married to George McCrae's sister.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew that. But it was a great place. It was a restaurant and, a live show place. And so they were the house band, and so we just started doing a lot of, you know, different things, and I was the lead singer of that band, and they would have a lot of different other acts come down and just perform and stuff like that.
So there were other backup vocalists too, or were they all everyone else played instruments?
Everybody played instruments except me.
And who do you remember the names of the other members of the group?
The bass player was Jack Chapman. He played bass. Tim Austin played drums. Right now he plays drums for Buddy Guy.
Okay.
Will Crosby is a guitar player. Right now he plays guitar for Mavis Staples.
Okay.
Who else do we have? Oh, Michael Jackson. He's a sax player.
Okay.
He's one of the original members. There was so many of us, it could be like 100 of us at a time. No, I'm just kidding.
You're lying. So.
And the keyboard player, he's a Lionel Dantzler.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's kind of famous too, like, is just a local jazz guy, right?
Right.
So then, was Reggie Lamb also in the group?
Reggie Lamb was a writer. He was a writer over at Starview Records.
Starville
Records.
Which is
right.
the label that the Wrecking Crew record that you're talking about is on also.
That is correct.
So let me play the record, because it's a minor hit in Chicago. Or you said it got played in the whole Midwest, is that right?
Oh, that's correct, yeah.
So I'll play the record, and then we can talk a little bit more. So this is the Wrecking Crew with Found a Groove.
One of your ordinary grooves. Oh, no. See, While working at the Tupelo Funk Lab, we discovered a groove we call amongst all groups. Well, chill out.
Finally found the groove to make you move it. So move it. Finally found the groove to make you move it. So move it. Finally found the groove to make you move it. So move it.
You like this group?
That's all right. Better than a peanut.
Okay, that was just the Wrecking Crew, and that track was called Found a Groove. That was the big hit in Chicago. Right now on the phone, I have Mike Avery, member of the New Image and Wrecking Crew. Mike, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, cool. So do you remember what year that record came out?
I think it was 82. Can you tell me? I'm like, oh, my God. I got amnesia. It's been so long.
It's probably 82.
Oh, my.
Okay. So you were telling me some story about, like how you came up with that record?
Yeah. Actually, a friend of ours, his name was Michael Goff. D-O-F-F, that is. He played with another band. There was so many local bands around. And he just came up with that doo-doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo, with that funky little bass line. And me and Reggie Lamb, we kind of came up with the concept. You just want to make it a fun record.
And you said it was named after some disco?
Yeah, the Tupelo Disco. That's why we stated that on the record. We get down at the Tupelo Disco. The Tupelo Disco was actually a real disco on the west side of Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
It was ran by Tom Lewis. Tom Lewis actually had his own record label back in the day. And I forgot to tell you that I think the Steelers, a group that you might have interviewed before.
Yeah.
We all hung out together over there.
Okay.
I knew all of them, you know. But that was the place to hang out at. Tom had a studio over there. Unfortunately,
and he ran that Starville label that you were on too.
Yes, he did. He ran the Starville label.
Okay.
Uh huh. Fortunately, that place is no longer exists. Tom passed away in a fire at that place. Him and his wife. I'm told under suspicious circumstances. I don't know. But he's no longer around, and he is truly missed.
Yeah, that's sad. So, the Wet Wrecking Crew had one other single and a whole album after that, right?
That was correct.
And
yeah.
The single was on Sounds of Florida Records, so I guess another Florida related record. And then you had the whole album. And do you know if you got any play off of the other single or off of the album?
Well, I don't know. After that album came out, this is what had happened with that album. We pretty much came up with the concept of all the songs and everything. A gentleman named Jim Porter actually produced it.
Yeah, he did a ton of stuff in Chicago.
Yeah, great producer. But once again, when I speak of trying to be artistic, from an artist and a writer's point of view, then you get a producer come in, don't really understand what you're trying to get at, and then just because they have the money, that can turn things totally around, you know, and that can either make or break your song, or, you know, it just takes away the feeling that you were trying to put on the song. And that's what pretty much happened with this album. There were some good moments on it.
Okay.
But for the most part, we have, like, the original concept of the album, how it was really supposed to go. And me personally, I think that sounds much better. But this is how the business is ran.
Okay.
So, you know, until you come up with the big bucks, you have to pretty much play it by the game.
Okay. So then did the group stay together for much longer after the album came out?
We stayed together for a little while, maybe another year and a half. Unfortunately, when you're still kind of young and you don't have a great management and direction, a lot of animosity builds and stuff like that. And unfortunately, in our case, that's pretty much what happened. I was the first one to leave. I just wanted to, you know, try something different, just start doing things on my own. And what I started doing, actually, Bob, was I got into the commercial business.
Okay.
And I started doing jingles and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people tell me they got into after.
Yeah, and it was the field was wide open. There was a lot of work during that time, and somebody, a young lady named Yvonne Gage.
Yeah,
she's from Chicago.
Yeah,
also.
I've been talking to her actually because
she was in
a group called New Love, First Love. Yeah.
Yeah.
At first they were the Soulettes, and then they became First Love. And she was telling me about that. Yeah, sorry, I messed up the name.
Yeah, she's a very awesome singer. So
yeah.
She was doing jingles, and she told me about it. I'm like, oh my, interesting. How do we do this? So I just pretty much left to, you know, recording scene. That wasn't quite working, so you know, doing jingles, it ended up being a little prosperous for me, so I was, you know, pretty satisfied.
So are you still doing that? How long did you do that for?
I still do it if I get a call, you know. It's not as busy of a time as it used to be, as it once was. As you know, if you listen to TV, you hear mostly the original record.
Okay.
You know, they don't hire, like, the, you know, the vocals to come in and lay down vocals anymore. They just pretty much do the original record and done with it, you know. But from time to time, I still get a call and ask, am I available? And
so are you still involved with music besides the jingles?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, to all the listeners out there, I have a CD out. It's called Destination Love.
Okay.
If anybody wants to hear it, it's on CD Baby. CDBaby.com. You can go to CDBaby.com. Type in Mike Avery. My name will come up. You'll be able to hear the tracks.
Do you still perform also?
I still perform. Right now, I'm working with the orchestra. It's called the Ken Arlen Orchestra, and we do a lot of big major corporate parties and a lot of big weddings and stuff like that. Right now, I haven't been doing anything far as locally. I really want my desire and my goal right now is to actually get over in Europe and do some things.
Okay.
I understand that the soul's market is still open over there, and people still are into that real soul music, and that's pretty much where I'm coming from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I hope something happens with that.
Well, thank you.
Well, thanks so much for telling your story.
Bob, it's been a blast. I wish we had more time.
Well, sure. I mean, if there's anything else you want to say or any last words, feel free.
Oh, well, I'd like to just say this. Thanks to you for keeping the history of the groups around, because otherwise there's nothing even close to what you're doing that's out there. And to go on your radio station and to look on your site and see this history is really a blessing.
Yeah, well, thanks for telling your story.
Keep doing what you're doing, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you telling your story because, you know, without these stories, there's no history. So
there you go. Right.
So thanks again. And I guess the regular show will continue.